Take your Bibles, please. Turn with us to the book of Luke, the 6th chapter, the book of Luke. Your pastor asked me to preach these messages. There's 9 of them altogether. We'll have 2 left after tonight. We're doing them on a Wednesday night. I think they are important. I hope it's been a help to you. I want us to be a help to you. But we're preaching the messages on treasures. We began by what are they, and then we preached whose are they, how to manage them, and I might say, going back to whose are they, I think is one of the most important messages that you've heard. This one again tonight is very, very important, but whose are they is one that I think we say we believe it, and I'm not saying that you don't. For years, I believed everything belonged to God. I believe that. But I don't know that I believed it in application. And there came a time in my life when I truly believed it in my heart. That no matter what we have, it's His. It's not ours. It doesn't make a difference what it is. And I think sometimes that's hard to come by, or for Christians to come to really, really believe that in their heart and then apply it. And even in the message tonight, it's important that you understand that truth. Everything belongs to God. Everything. Amen? And that's important that we grasp a hold of that and trust that you do grasp a hold of it. I trust that you believe that and really believe it to the point where you apply the truth to your life. Luke 6 chapter, please stand in reverence to the reading of God's word. We'll start reading at verse number 30. 6th chapter of Luke, verse number 30. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. For if we love them which love you, what thank have we? For sinners also love those that love them. That's an important truth. Now he's teaching something very, very important here to us. It's the natural man loves those who loves him. You know, he says the sinner, the natural man does it. That's natural. We all do that. Okay? But he said, what thank have you? Is that such a big deal? Is that something that we should maybe reward, as we're going to talk about rewards here in a moment? You see, well, that's natural for us to do that. And he says, and if you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have you? For sinners also do even the same. And if you lend to them of whom you hope to receive, what thank have you? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But he says, but love ye your enemies and do good, and lend hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the Highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. See, he's trying to get us to be like God. God just doesn't take care of those who love him and express that love to him. But he loves his enemies. He loves the unbelievers. He loves those who will not be able in any way to give anything back. And he says, be ye therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Let's pray. Father, again, thanking you so much today for your wonderful grace. And it's in the name of your wonderful Son, the Lord Jesus, because of his shed blood, Father, that we can even speak to you tonight, that you would even hear us.
It's because of his finished work and no merit of ours. But Lord, we sure do need. You've given us the right to come to the throne of grace. And Father, through his shed blood, we ask you please to help us, empower us, and use us as we preach this message. Use it to glorify yourself. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Verse number 38, he says, "Given it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom, for with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again." I want to start by just simply saying he is not teaching here the health and wealth gospel that sometimes people teach. You know, if you'll send so much money in, we'll send you a cloth, and it'll be worse than whatever they're supposed to do with it, and all these things. And boy, you'll be receive a lot of money back if you give all that. That's not what God is teaching here. And let me say to you, he's not only dealing here with just material things. I'll be using material examples tonight, but he's not dealing just with material things. Down through the years, I've been given so much, and not always just material things. I've been given a blessed family, and a wonderful wife, wonderful church for many, many, many years. Those things are worth more than all the money you could conjure up. So I'm saying to you, he's not just talking about money here, but we're going to be using... because we've talked about treasures, he said, don't lay up treasures on this earth, but lay up treasures in heaven. We know that that is all not just money too, but we will use the example of those so we'll understand some truths tonight. I think one of the principles that we're going to teach tonight is so, so important, and I hope you grasp a hold of it. R.G. Letourneau, you may have heard of him, you may not have heard of him, but he invented some of the big, heavy earth movers. This has been many, many years ago, and he invented these and made multitudes of money from them. He was a Christian, and he began, he said, giving 10% like he was taught to do. Somewhere down the road, as he grew in grace, he began to give 90% and keep 10%. And he said it, there was times when God so blessed him with that, he said that I didn't even hardly know what to do with the 10% that God blessed so much. Now let me say something to you. You say, boy, I wish God would do that for me. But do you notice he was doing that for a man who gave? He was doing that for a man who was willing to just take 90% of what God gave him and give it back into God's work and for the poor and all kinds of things like that. He said, I and God both had a shovel, and he said his shovel was bigger than mine. And I think there's a lot of truth in that. We know God's shovel is bigger. But again, we're not just talking about, and I hope you understand it, we're not just talking about possessions, we're not just talking about money and things, but God does use that. If you'll study the Bible, you'll find multitudes and multitudes of time God uses examples of finances or money to explain something. And so it is important to him, you see. I believe something. I believe giving is sacrifice. Now just listen to me a minute. I take my example from the Lord Jesus Christ, and he gave his all for us. Amen. Everything. And I believe true giving is not really true giving till there's sacrifice in it. And I believe God expects us to come to the place where we're willing to sacrifice. So giving, I say to you, ought to be sacrificial giving. God's payday is coming one of these days. Do you understand that? God's payday is coming. We just don't know exactly when, but it will come at the proper time. You see, he says in his word in Galatians, and let us not be weary in well doing. He says, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. See, there's a season coming. Due season. We'll reap. Okay? You know, that may be partially here, but certainly we know in eternity that it is true. Okay, so what's he say? Well, just don't be weary in well-doing. Just keep doing right. Just keep doing it. Keep being faithful. And in due season, that's whenever God decides. See, he says, we'll reap. He says, if we faint not. Now, the question is tonight, I'm preaching tonight on why so many treasures? Treasures. Why so many of them? Why has God given us here in America and given the Christians in America so many treasures? I'm going to try to answer that for you tonight. I want to go over, first of all, to 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter. 9th chapter of 2 Corinthians. We'll start reading at verse number 6. But this I say, this is the 9th chapter, 6th verse of 2 Corinthians. This I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Now, you know, that doesn't take a genius to figure out what God said there. Any person in this room, if I would ask you, you would stand up and say, well, he said if you want a small crop, you don't sow very many seeds. If you want a big crop, you sow some seeds. You sow a lot of seeds. Jack Gordon's a farmer here, and next year he's going to go out to that field, a big field, a 40-acre field, and he's going to put 12 seed in it. And we all laugh, and we should, because that's funny, because we know, Jack knows how many seed probably goes into an acre of ground. He knows those things. He's a farmer. But he'll go out there and plant the correct amount of seeds in that field so he'll get a good crop. It just makes sense. Well, you see, God says the same thing does. If you're going to have a good crop, you're going to have to plant seed. Now, keep that in mind. Okay, keep that in mind. If you're going to have a crop, you're going to have to sow some seed. Is that true? And he says, the more seed you sow, the more crop you'll have. The less you sow, the less you'll have. Okay? Now God says in verse 7, every man according to as he purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Now, you'll notice there, he says that God does not want us to give grudgingly. He doesn't want us to do it as a necessity. In other words, I have to do this. You know, it's right, I know, to do it, and I have to do it. No. He says he wants a giver to be a hilarious giver, or a cheerful giver. That's what it means, is hilarious giver. Amen. You know, and I was just noticing there in that portion of Scripture that the Bible said that God loves a cheerful giver. That's amazing to me. Does God love me? Does God love you? Sure he does. But you know what he says? He says, I love a cheerful giver. Doesn't mean he doesn't love everybody. It just means that he loves the fact that we've got in our heart the willingness to give cheerfully. Amen? Hilariously. That we give. God says he likes that. He loves that. I was just thinking, I like to do the things that God likes. I mean, I want him to be pleased with me, don't you? And whatever pleases him, I think, we ought to do our best to do that, because we're being obedient to his word, and that's what he says. He wants us to be a cheerful giver, so we ought to want to do that because it pleases the Lord. Pleases him. And then in verse number 8, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. I'm going to skip that right for a moment. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad,
He hath given to the poor. His righteousness remaineth forever. Now, God is the one here. We're going to find out. He's the one that provides the seed for the sower. He says, now he that ministers seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. See, now he that ministered seed to the sower. Who gives the seed out? God does. God provides it. Remember, everything's his. And so God provides the seed. He's the one who provides it. He gives it to us. And along with that, you notice he even puts in there, he says, and both minister bread for your food. He knows that you have needs. We'll talk about that in a moment. But he knows that you have need, and he takes care of our needs too. Takes care of the sower's needs. Okay? And then he says, not only that, he multiply your seed sowing. God is the one who takes the seed that we have sown and multiplies it. You always get more than you've sown. Jack Gordon would be in a mess if he put one seed out there for corn and got one seed back. But he gets a big old ear from that one seed. Multitudes of seeds. Well, the Bible says God is the one that takes that seed and gives it to the sower so that then he can multiply it. As he says in the last part of that, increase the fruits of your righteousness. He increases it. He's the one that does the increasing. He multiplies it. Okay? Now, are you getting a hold of that? God is the one that does that. He provides the seed, gives it to the sower. We sow it. He multiplies it and increases it. Amen? See, that's what God does. And you notice, I'm just going to go back there a moment, but verse number 8, I skipped over that. He says, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you, and ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. Once you notice something, God's grace talks about grace abounding to us. God's grace will never run out. His grace is sufficient. A lot of times, as we pray together of a morning, and I'll say to the Lord, I'll say, you know, we need grace this morning, and I know it's sufficient. I know it's sufficient. I know that. Whatever we've got coming today, I know God's grace is sufficient, no matter what it is. True? You see, and God's grace will never, ever run out. And we're not going to discuss all that, but if you study giving, it is a grace. Giving is a grace. Okay? Giving is a wonderful thing, and it's a grace. So God's hand is wide open to us. He's the one that provides. Remember this. He's the one that provides his goods or whatever it is, because everything belongs to him. And he provides it to the who? The sower. Who's going to take it and sow it. And then he increases it and multiplies it. Amen? And let me say something to you. The supply that God supplies us with is always in proportion to our need and what we will use, as we'll talk about in a moment. Will we sow it? See, what we really want, what we Americans want, okay? We want God to give to us abundantly more than we ever needed. That's what we want. We're always striving toward that. We need more. We want more. That's covetousness, just in case you didn't know. That's covetousness. And we're always wanting this and always wanting that. We want more. Well, do we need it? No. We don't need it. It's not a need. But God has promised to take care of our need, and he's also promised to provide seed to the sower for sowing. So understand, get a hold of this, you see. God always meets our need. One man wrote, he giveth more grace when the burdens grow greater. He sendeth more strength when the labors increase. To added affliction, he addeth his mercy. To multiplied trials, his multiplied peace. One man by the name of Thomas Fuller
prayed this: Lord, please either lighten the load or strengthen my back. And maybe that's a good thing to pray. Amen. Because God's grace is always sufficient. Amen. Now, in verse number 10, there we find, now he that ministered seed to the sower both ministers bread to your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Now let me ask you a question. Brother Gordon, you don't mind me using you. Okay? I'm going to just use you. If Brother Gordon was getting ready to plant a field and he needed 15 bushels of seed. I don't know how many you need. 15 bushels of seed. But I knew Brother Jack. And I knew that Brother Jack wasn't going to plant it. If I give it to him, he's just going to keep it in the barn. Do you think that I would give that seed to him? Do you think God's going to give seed to those who's going to keep it in the barn? Mm-hmm. You understand what I'm saying? You think that's what God would do if he wasn't going to sow the seed? You think God's going to continue to just pour in seed? What for? He's given the sower seed to sow, not to build it up, but to sow it. Amen? There's no need to give seed if it's not going to be sowed. Okay? Verse 11. You see, he says, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. The Bible says that he enriches us. What for? So we can be generous. Now, folks, listen a moment. See, I understand. I've pastored for 30 some odd years. And I understand every person has their own thoughts on all of these things. But what I want you to do is go back to the Bible. And if you think that God wants you to store up and build up big amounts and not sow the seed, would you please back it up with Scripture? Would you please do that? I'm showing you what God says. Now, will you do the same thing for me? See, because I've been there too many times. Well, you know what, I know, but you know, those people out there, they're poor. I know, but if they'd just work, they'd do this and they'd do that, and the church don't need this and the church don't need that and all that. You know, I'm just going to keep my money and I'm just going to store it up. Well, back it up with Scripture, please. Back it up. You see, I know people's got their own ideas, but most of the time they won't back it up with what the Word of God says. See, that's what we've got to do. We've got to, the way we live has got to be backed up by Scripture. Amen? Sure. Sure it does. Now, God prospers us. Listen to me. God prospers us. Think about this. Why is God going to prosper you or I? So we can live a better lifestyle? Do you think that's in God's plan? Now think with me. Do you really think that's why God prospers you and I and gives us abundantly, gives us much more than we need? Do you think it's so that we will live a better lifestyle? Do you think God works that way? Why does he prosper us? So that we can give our children more and spoil them to death. Well, that's what happens most of the time. We give them everything they want. We spend multitudes of money on our children and they don't need the things. They do need the necessities of life. God's not against you having necessities of life. God is for that. He says so in his word. That's legitimate needs. You understand what I'm saying? What I'm saying is, why does he prosper us? Did you ever stop and think about that? What is his purpose in prospering us? Okay? Now, we're going to talk about that, but listen, folks, we've got to understand something. We in America are just spoiled rotten. We are just absolutely spoiled rotten. Why, with all of that that God gives us, why isn't there multitudes more going into the word of God, going into the work of God and into missions? Why isn't there more? Why are we pouring it all on ourselves and building up big amounts for ourselves and possessions for ourselves? Why are we doing that? Is that God's will? Now you can ask yourself that. Is that God's will? Amen? You know, I remember a time when my wife and I was first married, and some of you will be able to relate to this. We once a week drove down to a little store not too far from us. We would get a candy bar and a Coke. And we thought we was on top of the world. I'm serious. We thought that was really something. We'd do that once a week after I got paid, and we didn't do it any other times. We had our needs met. You know what? My wife and I could do that every day if we wanted to now. If we wanted to. And so could you. See? We just have too much. And we don't know what to do with it. Well, we do know what to do with it. We spend it on ourselves. Amen. Do you understand what I'm saying? Why does God prosper? Why has God prospered you and me? What is the purpose of his prospering? Okay? Is it seed that should be sown? Amen? We cry out, you know, God provides something extra, some money extra, and we say, boy, what a blessing. God has really blessed me. You might want to say sometimes, looky there, God is testing me.
Amen. Amen. That's it. That's
right. God is testing me. Yes, see, what I'm saying, and folks, listen, just take these things and take them on, you know, where they belong, how they meant to give you. Amen.
Yes,
just take them. Why does God give you a raise? Why does God give me a raise? Why does he give me a bonus? Why does he give you a bonus? What is the purpose of it? Just so we will then be able to live a better lifestyle? We can go out and purchase some of those most important things? Is that the purpose? Or do we think we ought to maybe at first of all stop and say, God, what do you want me to do with this that you've provided for me? Okay, I know, you know what, we're in America. Americans don't think that way. I understand all this. But Americans need to be thinking this way.
Amen.
Amen. And really stop and ask yourself, why did God give me a raise? Why did God give me a bonus? Why did he allow me to work that overtime? What was the purpose of it? Maybe the church building program needed that overtime that you and I was working. So we can get the word of God out. Our pastor some time back is, led the church in building a building. Now I want to tell you right now, God knew about that long before he ever knew about it. But he's the one that led us to do that. The church voted and said, amen, that's what we should do. Now, God had that money already allocated. And he's given us extra money to pay for that. What we've got to do is see to it that it gets where it belongs. He's led us to support more missionaries. We've always supported a lot of missionaries, but now we're supporting more. I think that's wonderful. Well, where's the money going to come from? Well, I think God has probably given it to us. If we will just mind him and sow it instead of store it. Amen. Let me. You know, again, I'm going to go back real quickly to this thing of management. We manage everything we have. We manage it for the Lord. Now, if you don't believe that, you're going to have trouble with all these principles. But everything does belong to Him, and we are just managers. Managers have legitimate needs. We need food, we need clothing, we need housing, we need those things. God's not certainly against us having our legitimate needs. Now I want to ask you a question. Brother Gordon, I'm going to use you again. Brother Gordon, you was going to leave the country, and you needed somebody to manage your money and your affairs, kind of like you do for Paul R. Paul's gone out of the state, and Jack pretty well runs the business over there. Makes decisions when to sell crops, when to... But you're doing it for Paul R., aren't you? He's the boss. He's the owner. So you're going out of the country. You hired somebody. You're going to provide everything for them. You're going to give them food and housing and take care of them and see that they have their needs met and all of that. But you notice that your money manager is buying a great big monstrous house worth about $500,000. That's your money. And not only that, he's bought a real fancy, I mean a real fancy automobile, about $35,000 worth. Remember, that's your money that he's dealing with. Very best of clothes. I mean expensive clothes, the very best. Remember, that's your money he's spending. And all the little gadgets he wants to play with, all the electronic gadgets and the big screen TVs and all of those fancy things that go with it, you know. You sit around and, you know what I'm talking about. He's bought those, but it's your money. You find out that he's going not just once in a while out to eat, but goes out 3 or 4 times a week to eat at the very best of restaurants. It's your money. Would you consider maybe changing money managers? See, if you don't get a hold of the principle that what we have, we are managing God's money, and everything we spend, it really is His. Is He against your legitimate needs? Of course not. He's for it. Do you get what I'm saying? Do you think God would be pleased when He sees unreasonable expenses that God would be displeased with? Because it is His. Don't you think we ought to be a little more careful how we spend and how we manage God's money? Amen. Amen. Now I want to ask another question. How if, let's see here, Keith, you're over here. Pastor Jerry is over here. Now, God's wants to get something that you have. Let's say that Pastor Jerry and Cheryl's starving to death. He needs some food. Not starving to death, but he needs some food. He wants to get it from you because you've got extra food. How does he get it over there to Pastor Jerry? Somewhere along the line, you've got to deliver it. You've got to take that which is yours and deliver it over here to Pastor Jerry. There has to be a deliverer. You remember Brother Tillman the other night, or the other morning when he was here? Brother Tillman said he was sitting there and he gave the illustration. He had a $20 bill in his pocket. That's all he had, period. He had made a promise to God that an offering plate would never, ever pass in which he would not give something. And the only thing he had was that $20 bill.
Remember that? And he said he didn't know what he was going to do. He didn't know anybody at that church. He had just stopped in there for a service. He didn't know what he was going to do. He went out to his car and taped to the windshield was a $20 bill. Now, I want to tell you something. Somebody had to be the deliverer. And God impressed somebody to deliver that $20 bill to Brother Tillman. Now, folks, listen. We are deliverers. We are to listen to the Lord, and when He speaks, we're to deliver. Now, what if that man had said, no, I'm going to spend it on myself. I say man, woman, whoever it was. I'm going to spend it on myself, and I'm not going to deliver it. Well, I'll guarantee you, Brother Tillman wouldn't have had a meal on the way home. He said he didn't have any other money. He wouldn't have had a meal. He wouldn't have his real needs met. Do you understand what I'm saying? Years ago, a few years back, when Lori and Chuck lived in North Carolina, Durham, every Christmas, because she loves my fudge, I would make up a big thing of fudge and ship it to her out there. Isn't that right? Yeah, I did that. And I'd ship it to her. And she would call me and thank me and say, oh, Daddy, it was so good, you know, and thank you for sending it, you know. And she said, don't tell Chuck and Sarah and Aaron because I'm hiding it from them. I said, I'm mum. I won't tell anybody. But let me ask you a question. The only way I could get it out there was by the mailman. Now, what if the mailman got a hold of that package and went, and took it home with him and eat it?
Yeah, that's right. They do that.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. Now, what if that happened? Well, she would have probably killed the guy. But I'm just saying, do you understand what happens when we don't obey God? When the middleman, and we are the middleman, God says, I want you to deliver this. And we refuse to do it. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah, you understand? See, Brother Bud, Brother Bud's a mailman. I had a friend out of town who's going to send me a new suit, and it was coming. I talked to Brother Bud, and I said, Brother Bud, I said, there's a suit on the way from me. Keep an eye on it. Get that package to me as soon as you can. So I didn't hear anything. Next service, I come in here, and Bud was wearing the suit. Probably was a little big on him, but you say, oh, Brother Bud wouldn't do that. Of course he wouldn't. But do we do that? You see, I'm convinced of something, folks. God constantly is in the process of getting something from someplace over to somewhere else. Constantly in that process. Not just once, all the time that's happening. Amen? So I'm just simply saying to you, and let me give this illustration. Let's use FedEx. Where's Fred Poet? And FredEx. Brother Poet told me when he retired from the post office, he was going to start a delivery thing, or mail thing, called FredEx. He's going to compete with FedEx. Well, let's say that FredEx, everything I sent through FredEx, 100% of it got where it was going. FedEx would only get it to you 20% of the time. Who would you use? Who would you use? Who would you give the seed to? Are you getting it? Amen? You see, who is God going to use? Let me tell you who he's going to use. He's going to use those he can trust to get the job done. When God says, go do something, we're supposed to do it. And I might just ask a question, and just ask you a question. How often does God speak to your heart and tell you to deliver something? Now, you see, I can remember a time. You ought not to be able to look back and remember a time. It ought to be a way of life. I remember a time when I gave so-and-so something and I took something of mine. You ought to remember a time. It ought to be a way of life. It's the way you live. Why isn't God using you? Why isn't he tapping on your shoulder and saying, I want you to do this? It may not always be money. It might be clothes. It might be food. It might be just an encouraging word, a visit to somebody. I don't know all it's going to be in your life, but I want to tell you something. God uses his people. If he's not using you, something is wrong. I would be scared to death if he let me go a month without tapping my shoulder, I'd be scared to death. He forgot me. I want him to do it constantly. And let me say to you, he does. Does to my wife and I both. We've learned to live that way. I'm not bragging. I'm just telling you that's the way I think you're supposed to live. We're to be the deliverer. And what if we eat it instead of delivering it? Amen. See, God gives more to some people, and not always do they do what God wants them to do with it, but I want to tell you something. He doesn't love them more than he loves me. He loves us, but he's got a job for them, and it's not getting delivered. I believe truly if we would understand the out of this world returns that we're going to get one of these days, we would be like those in Corinthians here in the 8th chapter of Corinthians. We'd be begging to let God give us to give. Because they said, we pray thee. They was asking to give. You know why? Because there's a day coming. We stand before the Lord. And I don't want to stand there having eaten the fudge. I want to do exactly. I'm not saying I always do. I'm not saying that. I'm just telling you, I want to do exactly what God tells me to do, no matter what it is. Why is America so rich? Let me ask you a question. Why is America so rich? You ever give thoughts to that? Is it so that we can live a better lifestyle? We can be more luxurious? You really think God has blessed America so we could live in what we're doing now and living abundantly? Do you think that's God's plan? Well, I do believe that we give a lot in America to poor people. I think it's right. I don't believe we ought to give billions to communist countries, that we use it for their militaries. But I do believe we ought to feed the poor. I don't know how you feel about it, but I believe we ought to feed the poor. But I want to tell you something. Most of Americans, at the blessings they talk about, that God blesses us with, they look at it as though, you know what? I made it, that's mine, and I can now live a higher lifestyle. That's not why God gave this to America. He gave it to America not only just to feed the poor, but to get the gospel out. To get the word of God across these nations that don't have a language. That's why he does it. Why has he blessed Christians so much? Let's forget the world for a moment. Why has he blessed we Christians so much so that we can live more luxuriously? Do you think that's why he's blessed us? You think that's why he gives the extra? Or maybe it's because he wants us to sow the seed
of the gospel of Jesus Christ. To sow that seed that he has provided. Amen? You remember Mordecai and in the book of Esther, told Esther that she had come to the position she was in for such a time as this? I believe America is where she is today because God brought her there for such a time as this. There's no nation like America. Not now. Now, I know where she's going. I know she's going down the tube. I know all these things, but I want to tell you right now, there's no nation doing like America's doing as far as feeding the poor and doing those things. And let me say to you, we need also as Christians to realize that God isn't blessing us and giving us all these good jobs and all this good money just so we can store up stuff for ourselves, but he's doing it to get his word out. Amen. To get the word of God out. And maybe you can show me where God wants us all to live luxurious lives. Maybe you can show us. Show me that in the Word of God. And God's, that's the reason God's blessing and giving us all these fancy things, because he wants us to have them. I don't believe it. So, who's God going to give the seed to? He may give it to some that won't use it rightly, but I want to tell you something. He's looking for those who will take that seed and sow it. That's what he's looking for. And then he multiplies the fruit thereof. He increases it. Amen? So again, I simply say to you this too. God can cut off the seed. Yes, he can. He's the giver of the seed. And he can cut it off anytime he wants to. Amen? So I think it'd be a good thing if we just consider the principle here tonight. Why does God give you so much? Why does God give me so much? Did you ever stop and think that? Why? Why? Well, there's a reason. It's seed to be sown.